Chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. If you would stand for the reading and the honoring of the Word of God, please. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't, I'll give you a few seconds. It's good to laugh in the house of the Lord. It's good to smile. Go down to verse number 13. The Bible says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for just getting me here. God, for getting us here, God, together to worship here together. God, I pray tonight that you hide me behind you, God, and that, God, we just eat here tonight, God, upon your word. God, help us to have ears to take in, God, and a heart to apply it to. God, that we'll, when we leave this place tonight, Lord, we'll be different than that way that we came in. Father, and I thank you for all you're going to do. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is probably, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, it's probably going to be a totally different service than anything we've ever had on a Wednesday night. Maybe not, but as I began to read in the book of Jeremiah, I began to think about where we're at today as a society and where the world is. And this text stuck out to me, and I haven't been able to get away from it. And I've tried. I was at a men's meeting last night and spoke on something totally different. But today I couldn't go back to that. I couldn't go back and just draw from that. God wouldn't let me, in a sense. And I had to, I just could not get off of it. So I just said, you know, Lord, you're gonna have to do this. It's not going to be me. But where we're at in this text, the Bible, Jeremiah, how many people know anything about Jeremiah? Man, everybody. Jeremiah, and I'm going to pick on my buddy Jackie over here. Because if you ever know when the Spirit gets to moving, or when things get to happening in church, oh, Jackie over there busts like a grape. And he knows this. But Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. So I always call Jackie Jeremiah. Jeremiah the weeping, he's like Jeremiah the weeping prophet. But Jeremiah, he was known for a weeping prophet. But he also had some of the same attributes that Jackie has. And I'm not bragging on Jackie, and he knows that. But I love him. But when you see something in somebody that is good, you ought to tell about it. But Jeremiah wasn't just only a weeping prophet. Jeremiah was sent to a place and preached for years upon years upon years upon years the word of the Lord. And nobody come to know Jesus. But a thing about Jeremiah was he had a compassion for people, and specifically lost people, people without God, people that did not know God. He had a compassion that burnt on the inside. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. You read to where at times, man, he was just like us. He wanted to quit. He wanted to quit. He wanted to lay it all down and wanted to go back to probably, Brother Skip, to where, hey, the where there was some people that would actually take in the word that he was preaching out and that he could see be saved. But he said, "I can't quit. Your word's in me like a fire. shut up in my bones. And he said that I can't stay. I can't be still. I can't just not do it, because that's how big of a compassion that I have for the lost and for the word of God, for the word of the Lord. So Jeremiah here, he goes to specifically the tribe of Judah, but Israel, I mean the Israelites, and as he's there, he's preaching to them the word of the Lord. And I want you to know that the Israelites had already been through some stuff. God had brought them through so many things in their life, in their journey. And y'all can think of, he brought them out of captivity. Yep. They get to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the Red Sea parts. It wasn't because of Moses. It was because of God. They get there, all kinds of, they go into battles that they ain't supposed to win. And all of a sudden they win them. They do all of these things, and they go to these places where the odds were against them in certain circumstances. And all of a sudden they find themselves where they're supposed to be on the bottom and to be defeated. All of a sudden they find themselves on top and in the winner's circle because of God and nothing else. Nothing else. And they go through all these things, and they're fed in the wilderness. They're delivered in battles. The Red Sea is split. And in this text, in a few verses before, God goes to tell them all of these different things that he's done. He's renowned everything that he's done for. And then all of a sudden, they get to a point, Brother Donald, to where they think that they can do it on their own. They think that they can do it on their own. Sound familiar? The Bible says that they've forsaken me. It's what the word of the Lord said. He said, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, basically. So tonight, just for a few moments, and it's going to be a little bit different, but I want just to preach just to y'all tonight on forsaken the fountain. Forsaken the fountain. You see, Israel had turned their back basically on the Lord, and they left, and they had begun to worship these idols. If you read throughout scriptures, you see to where they're worshiping these images of these false gods, these little g gods. And they find themselves consumed with these little g gods, and they find themselves going from one God to another. And the Bible talks about here, Jeremiah is sent to this place just to preach to them the word of the Lord. And this is God speaking. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns. The fountain of living water. There was a gentleman, and I'm going to have to read this from a piece of paper because I can't remember all of this stuff. But there was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he begins to tell this story. And he begins to tell it just about how he was up at his brother's in West Virginia, and about how they had this awesome river that run through their property and kind of borderline their property. And he said he was up there one day, and all of a sudden his brother comes in, and he says, you know, hey, he was out there standing looking by the water, and his brother walks up to him and says, you want to see something even greater than what you're looking at here? And he said, yeah, I want to see something. He said, because I was looking at the water, and the water was just beautiful. He said, everything was just beautiful. It was sparkling. He said, you want to see something more beautiful? He said, yes. He said, and they go on this journey, and as they're walking through the woods along the edge of this creek, he all of a sudden, he starts seeing a mist in the distance. And as he starts seeing the mist in the distance, they keep on going and they enter into the mist. And all of a sudden, he said, we rounded the corner and there's these three different hurlings of water is what he called it, shooting out of the mountain. Not coming from a stream, not coming from any, they were coming directly out of this mountain. The mountain was called Droop Mountain, was the name of this mountain. And anybody that's, studied any history, there was a battle. It's known for a battle site that was there during the Civil War. It was known for a battle site, Droop Mountain. Look it up, you'll find it. But these three hurlings of water were just shooting out of this mountain into the place, into the creek that would run past his brother's home. And that creek was called Locust Creek. And what that creek done was it fed into a place called Greenbrier River. Greenbrier River fed into the western prong of the Potomac. If you look it up, you know where the Potomac flows? Flows right by our nation's capital. And I said all that to painted that picture because I want you to know this. Those three things come from a mountain. Those three hurlings of water, they come from a mountain that was always pushing water. It never dried up. It never ceased. It never slowed down. He said, he asked him, he said, how does it do it year round? He said, it does it every day, 24 hours a day. It never slows down. The speed of it never slows down. The girth of it never shrinks. He said, it never does none of that. And as he said that, I thought about the fountain of living water. Just about how many times in this life that we search and we search. The Bible says that they hewed out cisterns. It said, and they leaked water. And what that's representing is how we go through life and how we search sometimes and we search and we search and we search. And hey, we may get something. A cistern is something that they would dig. They would dig this little teeny bowl style hole. And what they would do is they would take, and at the top of that bowl, just imagine a little impression in the ground. And they would take and they would begin to build up with rocks. And they would take it and they would surround this thing on the bottom. And once they had built it up to the height that they wanted to have it, they would take mud and all this almost like mortar stuff, and they would begin to get on the inside of that cistern, and they would begin to lather this stuff in there, and this stuff would eventually harden, hoping to create a seal that would hold water. Hoping that it would hold water, and it would for a time. But eventually, it'd spring a leak. Eventually, it would begin to leak. And they would go by one day and the thing would be full. The next day they go by and there'd be nothing in there. It'd be dry as a bone. And they done these, they would fill these up mainly during a drought, just hoping that the water would stay. But you know what the thing that they couldn't do from that cistern? Brother Donald. You ever left a bucket of water out? You ever seen what happens? All of a sudden it'll start getting like nasty. It'll start getting stagnant. It'll start getting a little bit of that green stuff in it. It'll start getting algae in it. All of a sudden you walk by there one day, it'll be nice and clear, and the next day you come by and it'll be full of algae. may have a bug or two in it. But you know what the thing they wouldn't do with them cisterns? They wouldn't drink from it. They would go to a well to drink. Because those wells, they were clean water. They were clean water. Those cisterns would get all that stuff. And man, what a picture of today. Man, we're no different than the Israelites back then sometimes. Sometimes God can do thing after thing after thing after thing. God can save us from car wrecks. God can keep us from car wrecks. God can touch cancer. God can save lost loved ones. God can heal the brokenhearted. He can touch those that are sick. He can heal those that are sick. I've seen him touch kids' bones and make them go back. I've seen blood levels arise with different counts of white blood cells. I'm thinking if that's the right terminology. But I've seen God move not only on my behalf, but on everybody around me's behalf. Seen folks delivered. Yet you know what we find ourselves doing? We pick up them cisterns. We build them cisterns. We go to the things of the world. And we think that they're going to sustain water for a lifetime. But you know what tends to happen? Is they don't never contain water for long periods of time. They always tend to run out of water. They always tend to run out of water. I'm always reminded of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, when she goes to the well. She went there dragging those pails. I'm just going to say pails. But dragging those pails behind her brother Robert, and she would go to that same fountain each and every day during the hottest part of the day. And each day she would have to fill up that well. I mean, those jugs, those pots, pails. She would have to go back. She would fill them up. She'd go back home the next day at noontime. She'd come back and she'd do the same thing over and over and over and over until one day when she got to the well, there was a man sitting there waiting on her to get there. Because the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria because it was appointed just for her. And I'm thankful for that because I'm glad that one day that he must needs come through up there off of Meadowwood Farms Road and get down in there and go down through the woods and through the hedges and find me standing there on that very, very day. And all of a sudden what I had been trying to fill up and what I had been trying to or thinking that would hold water, man, all of a sudden, you know what it begins to do? It begins to pour out. But on that day, on that very day, I never had to go back to the world for anything. I didn't have to. I didn't never have to go back to do nothing, get nothing of the world because I was completely satisfied. Because on that day, I was drinking from a fountain of living water, water that would never run out, water that would never go bad, water that would never get contaminated, water that would never, ever run dry. But yet, this woman comes to this place. and she meets a man named Jesus who knew everything about her. And if you read that text, y'all know the text. I'm not telling y'all nothing new. But if you notice, right before the disciples come, the Bible says, as she went into the city to tell the others, you know what was laying there? Still at the well? The water pot was still there. And they've hewed them out cisterns. And it doesn't just say cisterns. It says broken cisterns that can hold no water. How many times do we find what? And this was God's chosen people. This wasn't just somebody. Church, how many times do we find ourselves with things that are leaking out of water? Amen. How many times do we find ourselves turning and going after things for satisfaction and for approval? How many times do we try to fit in with the crowd when God calls us to be different from the crowd? So I got a question for you. And this is an individual question. An individual question. So don't look around. Don't think about nobody else. No, don't think about you. Think about you. Think about your life. Think about what you do on a day-to-day basis. How many of us need help getting back to the fountain of living water? And I'm not talking about you, you're unsaved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Christian. I'm talking about Christian people. I'm talking about us. I encourage you tonight, let's get back to the fountain of living water. Let's go and tear down the cisterns or the things of the world that we keep trying and having to keep trying to fill up, but yet they just keep running out. They just keep running out. So like I said, this is going to be totally different tonight. The church today in general is leaking out of water. The church as a whole is leaking out of water. The church today is leaking out of water. What once used to be full what once used to be flowing. It is all of a sudden a mere trickle. So can I ask you something? How many of you care? Let's get specific. Let's talk about liberty. How many of you care about the church? If we truly care, what are we doing? Can I encourage you with something? And you know this? Prayer changes everything. And I mean that. I've seen it work just in the past several months like I've never seen it work before. So as we stand to our feet, Matt, will you just play something just softly?